you open your copy of the Word of God to Ephesians chapter 1. This morning we'll be particularly in verses 9 and 10, but we'll read verses 1 through 10 this morning. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and we'll be reading right from verse 1 this morning. Let's hear the Word of the Lord together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray this morning for the youth who are not here this morning, Lord, for Doug and those ministering to them. Lord, we pray that you would accomplish all your purposes in them through your word, Lord, that you would exalt Jesus in the hearts and minds and lives of every youth who is on that retreat, Lord. And Father, I pray for our brother Jeff Shala, who is ministering your word in another place this morning, Lord, would you come in power by your Spirit that the word might go forth and bear fruit, Lord, that Jesus might be exalted there. And Father, for us here this morning, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might receive the grace that is in Jesus Christ through your word to us this morning. Father, it's for your glory and our joy that I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a beautiful fall day, crisp, cold morning. And every one of you came this day from whatever week that the Lord laid out for you these past several days. And I'm sure it was the experience of every one of you that at some point in the week or at many points in the week, as you face perhaps one of the repetitive tasks of life, those tasks in the home like washing the dishes, that's just an exercise in futility because you need to wash them again unless everybody ceases to eat in your home. The laundry that never ends. Maybe it was your experience as you got up one particular morning to go and exercise the vocation that the Lord has given to you, that you were reflecting on the day ahead and you thought, you know, I did this yesterday and the day before, and maybe the year before, and maybe the decade before, and maybe the questions entered your mind from time to time, what's the point? Is this just a meaningless, endless cycle of put the seeds in the ground and then the fruit comes and then we eat it and then we have to put the seeds in the ground and then the fruit comes and then we eat it but then we have to put the seeds in the ground? What is the point of it all? In our passage this morning, in the grace of God, Paul unfolds for us what the point of it all is. Not just the point of spiritual realities, but the point of everything. The point of the universe. As we've traveled through this opening prayer of Paul, this morning we come to the climax. If we can think of Paul as building one step on top of the other, here we reach the pinnacle as he's unfolded for us these blessings that are the possession of every believer as they are united to Jesus, beginning in eternity past. Here in verse 10, we reach the pinnacle, the climax. Here Paul casts our eyes into all eternity future and tells us the point of everything. So the point of this passage and the point of this message is simply this: Jesus is the point. Christ is the meaning of the universe. Jesus is the point. Christ is the meaning of the universe. Let's just jump in to verse 7 so we can follow the flow of thought quickly through, and then we will go back and make some stops along the way. But in verse 7, you remember at the beginning we started with that glorious expression, in Him again. In Him, the Beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And this redemption that we have in Christ Jesus and in Him alone, that can be found nowhere else, is according to the riches of the grace of the eternal and perfect God Almighty. And Paul says, these riches, the riches of this grace, according to which we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, God lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight by making known to us the mystery of His will. So now we've transitioned from redemption, the glories of redemption that are according to the riches of the grace of God. And these riches, God in His wisdom and insight has lavished upon us. How? By making known to us the mystery of His will. And the mystery of this will He makes known to us according to His purpose. And the mystery of His will is this: it's that which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on the earth. So that's the flow that we have here this morning. Paul was talking about redemption and the glories of redemption that come to us according to, by virtue of, the riches of the grace of God. And these riches God has lavished upon us by revealing something to us. And so the first point I want to make this morning, the first point that Paul makes here, is the grace of revelation. The grace of revelation. I wonder if you ever stop to reflect on the grace that you receive simply because God has made known to you certain things through His Word. You see, we know from the scriptures that God being creator and us being created are categorically different. God is infinite in his creatorness, and we are always bound by our creatureliness. And therefore, if this infinite God, who has life in himself, would create a universe, but choose not to make himself known to that universe, and in that universe, no one existing there, no creature could ever know the Creator. No, it's only by revelation in creation and in God's special revelation through his word that we can know anything about him. If God had chosen not to reveal himself to his creatures, they would simply know nothing about him. They couldn't have reasoned their way back up to God or worked their way back up to God if he had not chosen to reveal himself to us. But here in this verse, Paul makes particular mention of the grace of revelation. You see, he's celebrated the riches of the grace of God, and then he's told us in verse 8 that God lavishes upon us these riches by making something known to us, by revealing something of his plan to us. Brothers and sisters, to have any aspect of the revelation of God's plan in Christ made known to us is to receive the grace of God in it. It's by making known something that God lavishes, is said to lavish his grace on his people. And there's so many implications from this. We need to think about this carefully, because to reject a deep study of the things of God as he's given them to us in his word is to choose to impoverish ourselves, is to choose to neglect and miss out on grace that God the Father Almighty has desired to give us by making himself known to us. Think for a second. There are so many people who, upon hearing words like election and predestination, just want to say, no, I don't want to think about those things. They're too complicated. They're gonna somehow destroy my faith. No, let's talk about something else. But every single thing that God has placed in his word is for us. And it's not just for us abstractly. It's for our life. It's for our walk with him. It's for our growth in him. It is the means by which he gives grace to us. So, brothers and sisters, let us make it our aim to know everything that our gracious Heavenly Father has chosen to reveal to us in his word. We don't want to go beyond his word, but we must not reject anything that he gives us in his word. Let's make it our aim to know everything that he has told us about himself and about the glory of his plan for our salvation, about the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's not be satisfied with milk, but let us press on into the meat of the word. The writer to the Hebrews says, you must do this. This is what you are made for. So let's celebrate the grace of revelation given to us through the apostles and prophets, written down for us in the scriptures, and now unfolded for us in preaching and teaching and given to us as we sit before this word ourselves and as you take his words upon your lips and speak of the glories of Christ, God makes you an instrument of grace to others. Because one of the ways that God brings his grace to people is by making known certain things to us. Consider Romans 16:25. Paul says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages." I don't want us to miss that point this morning. God, that's the hymn, is able to strengthen you according to what? According to the gospel, according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation, the making known to you, the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been revealed, manifested to us and for us in the coming of Jesus Christ, in his life, and in his death, and in his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his promise to come again for his people. So let's take note of the grace of revelation, and let's delight to press on into that grace more and more. But the second thing we see here is the specifics. Something specific that Paul is telling us here. The way that he lavished upon us his grace is by making known to us the mystery of his will. And that specifically in this passage has been set forth in Christ. And it's a plan for the fullness of time, Paul says, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So the first aspect of the mystery is that God, the Father Almighty, has set forth this plan, has set forth this mystery in Christ Jesus. This is the first piece in the puzzle of putting together the pieces that tell us that Jesus is the point, that Christ is the meaning of the universe, because it is in Christ that God the Father sets forth his plan. And specifically in verse 10, we read that it's a plan for the fullness of time. And the word plan there is used of a household administration, the ordering and administering of a household. And so some translations will translate it that way, as an administration for the fullness of time, or administration of the fullness of time. But we want to pick up here in verse 10, when Paul starts to tell us that the mystery of the will of God that's been made known to us is that there's a plan and an administration, a household administration for the fullness of time that involves or culminates in uniting all things in Christ Jesus, things in heaven and things on the earth. Why does there need to be this administration, this household administration? Well, why does there need to be a uniting of all things, things in heaven and things on earth? Here's the reason. Because God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. So we start in the beginning with things in the heaven and things on the earth. And then in Adam, the one who was supposed to oversee and cultivate all of these things, sin came into the world. And death through sin. And we see in the opening chapters of Genesis that it's not just that a human being fell in Genesis chapter 3. No, humanity fell in Adam in Genesis chapter 3. And it's not just that humanity fell in Genesis chapter 3, but we see that God has so ordered his creation with his image bearers at the pinnacle, the culmination of his creation, that for them to fall has massive implications for the entirety of the created order. And so we see that it's not just one man who falls, but all humanity falls in him, and the results of that catastrophic fall have implications for absolutely everything that exists. And so we've been reading in this beautiful prayer, this opening just song of praise to God for all of his works. We've been reading of his works on behalf of his people, that he chose a particular people and he predestined them to be adopted as sons, and he achieved redemption for them in the person of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of their sins. But we see here, in the kindness of God, in verse 10, that the work of Jesus Christ on behalf of a particular people for the glory of his name has involved in it nothing less than implications that extend just as far as the implications of the curse in Genesis chapter 3. So the work of God in Christ is not limited to redeeming one man. It's not limited to redeeming a people out of fallen humanity. No, insofar as Adam's fall had cosmic implications for the entire created order, so the work of Jesus Christ, the plan of God in Christ, extends to all things. And so we see here that God's plan is not limited to a people for himself, for his treasured possession, but indeed the plan for the fullness of time is that all things in heaven and on earth would be united in Jesus Christ. It is here we see that Jesus is the point, and it is the grace of God to you and to me that he tells us that. That he tells us that. So what does it mean to unite all things in him? Things in heaven and things on earth. The word here is one of those words that we sometimes encounter in the Bible that only appears once or twice, and so it's a little bit more difficult to get at the root of it, what it's talking about. But it's also used of Jesus when he says that the whole of the law is summed up. The whole of the law is summed up in the commandment to love God and love your neighbor. And so what Paul is telling us here is that God the Father has a purpose that is a mystery, which means that it's something that was concealed in the past. It's not a mystery in the sense of something that's really complicated and you got to kind of follow all the different paths and you figure it out. No, it's something that was concealed, but now it has been made known. It's been brought into the light. Now we can see it for what it is. It was always there, but it was hidden. It was veiled. And now he's made it known. He's revealed it to us in the gospel, and it's this plan for the fullness of time that at the culmination of all things, at the consummation of all things, in the end, the entire universe would be summed up in Jesus. that every single thing in the cosmos would be seen to have its relation and proper order as it is in relation to Christ Jesus. Jesus is the main point, the summation of all things. And this is God's plan. We see, we started in verse 3 in eternity past. And here, Paul is telling us that this plan that began in eternity past with the election and predestination of a particular people for the to the glory of God's grace has as its end the summation of all things, things in heaven and things on earth, under and according to and in line with and with their point as Jesus. It shouldn't be a surprise to us at this point in chapter 1 that Jesus is the point. It shouldn't be a surprise to us as we come to verse 10 that Jesus is the point of everything. Just think back to all the places where we read of things being in Jesus in these few verses. In verse 3, we begin that all blessings, every single blessing given to us by the Spirit of God is given to us in Christ Jesus. We read that we are chosen in Christ, in Him from before the foundation of the world. We read that we are predestined through Jesus for adoption as sons. We read that He has graced us in the Beloved, in Jesus. We read that we have redemption in Him. His purpose is set forth in Christ. His grand cosmic purpose, then, should not be a surprise to us, to unite, to sum up, to bring everything to their appointed end and purpose, all things in Jesus Himself. And I want to note one thing again. For God to tell us this is according to His kind intention. Remember, we read in verse 5, we read that He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose or the kind intention or the good pleasure of His will. It delighted God the Father from out of His own self to predestine us for adoption as sons through Jesus. And it is His delight to reveal His plan for all things to us in Jesus. It's His delight to do this. So here's the implications for us. Here are the implications for us. Number one, the purpose of everything is Jesus. The point of everything is Jesus. We read in Colossians that all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And so it should be no surprise to us that not only if everything was created by Him and everything was created for Him, that everything would be gathered up to its final point and aim and goal in Him. God the Father aims to magnify His Son for all eternity as the one in whom all things will be summed up. All things will be brought to their appointed end in Jesus. This ought to be in our thoughts. This ought to be in your thoughts Monday morning when you get out of bed, and whatever is before you in your day, Jesus is the point and Christ is the meaning of everything. Washing the floors again, building another wall and another house, driving another road to another place, bringing another thing with you. Jesus is not just the point, brothers and sisters, of some little spiritual portion of your life. Jesus is the point of everything. This passage tells us that Jesus is the point of leaves and sunshine and trees and frosty mornings and interestingly colored pews in a church, and is the point of his people. Jesus is the point of everything. And so as Christians, you ought to think about every single thing in your life in relation to the point of the universe. Every single piece of your life in relation to the one in whom all things will inevitably, infallibly, irrevocably be brought to their sum and consummation. Things are going there. But you also must remind, not just, it doesn't just bring meaning to the mundane, it doesn't just remind you of the purpose of all things and order them correctly, but you also in this passage need to be reminded that the purpose of God cannot be thwarted. That no matter what you read in the headlines today, whether a nuclear bomb goes off in some portion of the world, you need not fear that somehow, because that is such a big and bad thing, this purpose of God to unite all things in Christ and things in heaven and things on earth will somehow be messed up or derailed or delayed. God's plan will infallibly take place in time. In his time. And his purpose to unite all things in Jesus cannot be stopped by anything. It cannot be stopped by anything. And so you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, must not fear the workings and rumblings of nations, the discontent in your workplace or in your country or on the world stage. Because you and I know, because God and his grace has revealed it to us, that his purpose will be accomplished. His purpose cannot be thwarted. That's also why every single person here this morning needs to ask themselves, no matter who you are, whether you're 5 years old or 95 years old, you need to ask yourself, what is my relation to this person, Jesus Christ? Because if the purpose of the universe is summed up in Jesus, if the point of everything is Christ, then the only way to rightly evaluate your life is how you are relating to him. To him. And the glory of the things that we've been reading here in verses 3 to 10. The glory of the things that we've been reading here in verses 3 to 10 is if you have lived your life in exact opposition to the one in whom all things have their purpose and point, or indifference to the one in whom all things have their point. You've been living as one who's committed cosmic treason against the glorious and good creator of the universe, and yet in Jesus, the point of the universe, he offers you hope and life forevermore. You as a traitor, He invites you in to trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and find that in Him you have redemption, the forgiveness of your sins, and adoption, all according to the riches of His grace. So as we go from here this morning, let it fill our thoughts and our hearts. That simple reality, yet more profound than anything you could ever imagine in all your life, that Jesus is the point, that Christ is the meaning of the universe. And my prayer is that the Spirit of God would bring all the things that flow out of that simple and yet most profound reality ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we go from here into time of fellowship and eating, Lord, would you impress upon our hearts afresh and more deeply this great reality that your plan coming from your mind from all eternity past will see its full, final goal and accomplishment in the summing up of all things in Jesus, Lord. Would you convict us afresh and cause us to wonder afresh at the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may it be our desire that all would come and enjoy the riches of your grace that are found in Him and Him alone through faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.